Hello there, thanks for joining us on the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington in the company of David Jennings and Graham Rodway, taking you through seven live races on ITV4 on Saturday from Cheltenham and Doncaster. That is about it. There's some decent enough stuff going on elsewhere. Very quiet Sunday, just a couple of meetings in the UK, nothing in Ireland. So all the focus is on the ITV4 action on Saturday, starting with a real big one, and everyone at the Racing Post delighted that we're back in sponsorship. We give our name to the Gold Cup. It's the Racing Post Gold Cup, over 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs. And there's 15 runners. Let's see what's happening with the each ways, by the way. Five places at the moment from Sky Bet and William Hill. So indicative best prices right now, 9-2 Layla for Paul Nichols, 13-2 Silver Hallmark, 7 Dostal Phil, 8-1 Beakstown, 8-1 Midnight Shadow, 9 Farinet, 9 Fusel Raffles, 10 Cool Cody, and 14-1 Bar. This race very often is a kind of reenactment of the Paddy Power Gold Cup, and that is the case again. Midnight Shadow won that very well last month, but Layla has a decent pull, which explains why he is favourite. Is he a worthy favourite? We'll start with G-Rod.
Yeah, I suppose he deserves to be favourite, Bruce. I think that he obviously has got a pull in the weights with Midnight Shadow, and he stormed home after appearing to get a little outpaced last time. Paul Nichols is absolutely certain that this stiffer test of stamina will suit him on the new course, of course, over a slightly longer distance. And there's this theory that horses don't go well first time out after wind ops, and they actually run a lot better second time up, even though, of course, going into the Paddy Power Gold Cup last month, we were told how well Layla was working and that he would be absolutely bouncing and ready to go first time up. So I'm not entirely sure we should be reading too much into it. I think he's opposable at the price, though.
OK, do you want to tell us with who?
Yeah,
or should we just leave it there?
I suppose I should tell you, yeah. I like Fusel Raffles a little
bit. This is a new one, G-Rod, I have to say. This is a new one.
Yeah, there you go, listeners. It's 14 to choose from. Don't back Layla, but take your pick from the rest.
You have a guess. No, I quite like Fusel Raffles. Now, a lot of people bashed the Marsh last year when obviously Envoy LM failed in the early on, but the form's not looking too bad now, is it? I mean, Chantry House won it. Asterion Falange was third. That would probably have won the big race last Sunday at Ferry House, wasn't it? Chatham Street Lad was fourth. And Shamblou would obviously have won the Charlie Hall by an absolute mile, beating Fusel Raffles, of course, last time out of Weatherby. You know, Fusel Raffles then come up against like the best novice chaser in Britain and Ireland, Brave Man's Game, and attempting to give him a ridiculous amount away. He was only beaten 5-odd lengths by him at Newton Abbott. And then last time out, he's won over 3 miles. I think I'm not entirely sure he really stays that trip, but he still won.
It was a lucky winner, wasn't he, obviously?
Shamblou would have hammered him, of course, but I think that gave you an indication of the ability that's there. I think back over 2.5 around Cheltenham. Yeah, I think he's the one, Fusel Raffles.
Okay, thanks. We've got the stuff. You sound slightly distracted, G-Rod. I don't know. You're doing pottery or something at the same time.
I've got a really nice lemon and ginger and cracked black pepper tea here, which is really, really taking my attention at the moment.
Okay. DJ. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah, Fusel Raffles would be my cup of tea now, I have to say. He has a chance, but no, that was poor. Look, I think Seapage is the best horse in this race, and he obviously is, and the ratings tell you that. He's, you know, £5 clear of anything on ratings. It's just a case of how far superior he is the best horse in the race, and I just think on two of his reappearances in the last 3 years, I think he has a massive chance of winning this race. He's 18-1. So in 2018, he returned from a 241-day break in this race, and he was second to Froden. It was a hell of an effort. Yes, it was only off of a mark of 143, but the two of them pulled miles clear of Guitar Pete, who was third. Okay, I think there were 15 lengths clear of Guitar Pete. Then we didn't see him again until the following November. He's obviously fragile. But the following November, he returned at Aintree, and he was second to Riders on the Storm. he was trying to give Riders on the Storm £7 that day. Riders on the Storm was running off a mark of 140. Riders on the Storm ended up winning a grade one, and at his peak was rated 162. So it was an absolutely impossible task he faced that day. So in my head, if he repeats either of those performances, I think that could be good enough to win this race. Now, he has risks attached to him, and he can sulk a little bit in his races. And I'd say he's not the easiest to get right. But last season, he returned in this race and went off 9-1. And he didn't want to know. It was a horror show. And he came out a couple of weeks later and absolutely bolted up by 14 lengths at Chepstow, where he produced an RPR of 161. In the Ultima last year, Cheltenham, he ran off 158. And he absolutely flew home after losing his position to finish fourth. And I just have it in my head that this race, I think Venetia Williams knows she can only win one race with this horse this season. And I think this is it. He's 18-1. It's a massive ass to win this race off top weight. But I think 18-1 is good value. So see Paige for me.
Excellent. A dramatic change of pace there from ponderous G-Rods, a very strident David Jennings. Thank you very much. We're off and running. Let's move on to the 225 now. It's the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle over 3 miles. We've only got the 6 runners, but it's pretty competitive with Blazing Cal, 11-8 favourite. 7-4, Jolino Bello. 6-1, Barony Legends. 16, Current Mood. 22-1, Bar. David Jennings, is there a bet here?
He just wins, doesn't he, Blazing Cal? Like, he beat Jolino Bello fair and square, I thought, last time. They were, you know, off level weights that day, and he has to give him £5 here. But I think the actual step up and trip to 3 miles from 2 mile 5 will suit Blazing Cal. I really fancied him when he won at the November meeting, but I didn't think he jumped particularly well. He got in close to a couple, and he kind of bumped into one at the last, but he powered up the hill. And I thought he won impressively. There's been plenty of money for him this week in the Albert Bartlett market. And I don't know if anybody read Charles Burns' piece with Brian Sheeran in the Racing Post during the week. Like, Charles was waxing lyrical about this horse. He said he's the best horse he has. He mightn't be as good as Thomas Gordon's, he said, but he's the best horse he had. He's going to go for the Albert Bartlett, and hopefully he'll win this. And I think if you're getting odds against, there's some 11-8 available at the moment. I could see him going off 8-13.
Jolly good. Thank you, DJ. Do you agree with that, Graham?
No, I don't. I think it's complete nonsense. there's no way that Blazing Cal goes off odds on in this race, I don't think. I mean, the last run at Cheltenham turned into a ridiculous race. They went absolutely no pace. They crawled around the whole way, and then he absolutely out-sprinted them up the straight. It was a really slow pace and a fast finishing split. I think it was a really weird race. I'm not entirely sure you want to be taking too much notice of the form. I think that Jolino Bello is probably the better horse of the two. Whether he can prove that here depends probably on whether he gets a strong pace, which he may not get again. I mean, they may well dawdle round here and then Blazing Cal just out-sprint them up the straight. But I'm convinced that the Nichols horse is the better of the pair. Having said that, I don't think that the Cheltenham form last time out is the key to the race. I'm going to be backing Barony Legends for Ollie Murphy, who absolutely hacked up last time out at Lingfield. It was the second best hurdle performance of the season on Racing Post ratings at Lingfield. Now, of course, that's not saying a lot because you don't get that many greats turn up there, but it's still decent for a horse who's only a novice, a very young horse who's having his first run over hurdles. He won by 27 lengths. The time's very sound. I just don't see the disparity in price between the top two in the market and Barony Legends. I would have them a lot closer in the market.
There you go, DJ. So G-Rod has taken your carefully crafted argument for Blazing Cal, smashed it into little pieces with a mallet and handed it back to you. What have you got to say for yourself?
What price will you lay me that Blazing Cal goes off odds on, Graham?
Well, it's not likely, is it?
Not according to you.
It's just, you know, it's not likely. I mean, what price is he now?
11.8.
About evens.
Okay. I'll have an even pint with you.
There you go, an even pint. That's a good bet. You laying that one, G-Rod?
An even pint, yeah, fair enough.
Okay, the 3 o'clock tournament is the Unibet International Hurdle. 2 miles and 1 furlong. Very often won by a star name. The new one used to win it a lot. My Tent or Yours has won it. Zarkander, Brain Power. Good horses tend to win this race. I'm not sure it is a race that is going to have huge ripples on the champion hurdle market, but you never know. Let's spin through the betting song for Someone who won it last year is 9-4. The beautiful So Royal is 11-4. Guard Your Dreams 11-2. Bally Adams 6-1. Heaven Help Us 14. Hunter School 16. Wild About Oscar 16. Annoying news that there's only 7 runners, so we can't have any each way fun. Graham Rodway, you go first. Who do you think wins this?
Yeah, it's quite a tough one, isn't it? Because I am one of Song for Someone's biggest fans. You know, I did back him for the champion hurdle after he won this race last year. And then it all went to pot, didn't it? He got absolutely thrashed by Goshen, was pulled up at Aintree, looked a moody character. And then he comes back after wind surgery, runs an absolute cracker behind Buzz at Ascot. Although I do think it was a case of Buzz being first and the rest being nowhere in that race. And he's quite short to build on it, even though Tom Simon's horses do tend to improve significantly from their first wind surgery run to their second wind surgery run. I've just run out a few stats on him. I think So Royal probably win it, won't he? What do you reckon? You know, it's not a great race. So Royal's like a sort of grade 2 stroke, grade 1.5 sort of horse, just below the top grade. He mops up these sorts of weak graded races. It's funny, you know, years ago I used to say, oh, there's so many weak, poor graded races in Ireland, and now it's like you say, oh, there's so many weak, poor graded races in England, and yeah, So Royal just mops them up, and he'll probably mop this one up.
Yeah, okay. DJ, rather, are you going to take issue with anything Graham said there?
No, I agree with So Royal. Like, he's like, he has, like, if you're the kind of top 10 favourite horses in train at the moment, I think he'd be in most people's top 10. He's just one of these really likeable sorts. But I thought he had a really hard race in the Fighting Fifth. Now, he's one of these horses that seems to bounce back from anything, and he can run in, like, the Tinker Creek one week and then run in the International the next or something like that. Like, he seems to be extremely durable. But he was the one that was travelling best, you know, 100 yards from the final flight, and he ended up finishing third. And I just said to myself, I'll be taking him on next time wherever he shows up. Like, because I just didn't, that kind of run in, I just thought he had a really hard race in the driving snow or whatever it was at the time. I just wonder, will it have an effect on him a fortnight later? These are a terrible bunch. Terrible. Like, where are all the 2 mile hurdlers at the minute? I don't know. There's just, like, Sound for Someone is fine. He's grand. Guard Your Dreams is grand. He's right at 147. But I certainly think it's worth giving Bally Adam one more chance. He didn't take the chase, and he fell at the first on his first start at Punchestown, and then over fences, and then he was second to Buddy Rich in a beginner's chase at Navan. Again, didn't really attack his fences. But there's, like, one particular piece of form that would make him extremely hard to beat here, and that was getting beaten 3.25 lengths by Appreciated in the Chanel Pharma Novice Hurdle at the Dublin Racing Festival. He's beaten 3.25 lengths that day. There were 2.75 lengths back to Blue Lord, who finished third that day. Galloping the Champs was 6th. You can even go back further down the line. Magic Tricks was 8th. Wide Receiver was 10th. Castmate was 11th. It was a really top class Grade 1 Novice Hurdle, and he was 2nd. And I think, if he is back to anything close to that sort of form, I know he was trained by Gordon Elliott at the time, and he's now with Henry de Bramme, but if he's back to that, anything close to that, he's the only one who there might still be a little bit more improvement in of these, I think. And at 6-1 in a race like this, he's probably double the price he should be.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gents. And finally, at Cheltenham, the 3:35. Which is the Close Brothers Mares Handicap Hurdle over 2.5 miles. And we've got 10 runners here, headed betting-wise by the unbeaten Trappista, who is 7-2. Indefatigable is 11-2, as is Martello Sky. And then you've got 6-1 Winhouse, 8-1 Her Indoors, 12-1 Bar. Anyone offering any snazzy place terms? Sky Bet, Betfair and Paddy Power are all 4 places, so that's good. David Jennings, have you got a particularly strong fancy here?
No, not really. Like, Trappista could be anything. We have no idea. She beat Huka Dudaris by 5 lengths in Huntington on her British debut. Huka Dudaris came out next time and fell at the second last in a race won by Pipe Smoker, when still reasonably in contention, and then ran a shocker next time at Fontwell when she was far too keen. So, you're judging, obviously, Trappista on one run, and you're trying to guess whether she's well handicapped off 131. For all we know, she could be 150 rated mare. We have no idea. But at the prices, you probably just have to take her on. And the one I'd be taking her on with was Her Indoors, for Alan King and Harry Cobden. A rare ride for the Kingy stable for Harry Cobden. Molly's Ollie's Wishes got away from them at Wetherby and was really impressive that day. And I just thought Hurrendorf's never really got into it. She was coming into the race on the back of a reasonably solid flat run at Nottingham. And I just think, to me, a race like this is exactly what Hurrendorf needs. 2.5 miles. There's likely to be plenty of pace in the race. I think she's not badly handicapped off 133. And her win at Cheltenham last year in April, when she won off 126, she beat a juvenile of Joseph O'Brien's. I think that suggests she's still well handicapped. And a bit like Bally Adam in the last, I'm surprised she's 8-1. I think she'll go off a bit shorter.
How old are you, what young whippersnapper, DJ?
Oh, I'm getting on now, Bruce. 36 last month.
Oh, yeah. Do you know the origin of her indoors's name?
I don't know the origin, Bruce.
G-Rod?
No.
Which famous programme featured a character who you never saw called Her Indoors?
Is
Minder.
Oh, Minder, yeah. It was the wife.
Yeah.
Arthur Daly. Cole.
Arthur Daly always used to refer to Her Indoors, Terry. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Will Her Indoors win this one, in your opinion, G-Rod?
No, I don't think that Her Indoors will. I think that the race to concentrate on is the one that was won by Wynn House last time out at Wincanton. Beat a horse called Hotter Than Hell, who is also in this race. And the third was Rose of Arcadia, who travelled like the winner and turns up on Friday at Cheltenham, actually. I thought it was a really good race, that one. And Rose of Arcadia travelled like the winner. And then Wynn House really, really powered home to beat Hotter Than Hell. I'm absolutely amazed that the handicapper has only gone £3 on the winner. I mean, it was running off 122 last time, runs off 125 here. And I think that's fairly generous, likes decent ground. So the drive forecast is in a favour. And Alan King, I mean, you have these trainers, don't you? Just they're better with mares than a lot of other trainers, like Willie Mullins. Whenever he runs a mare, you know, it's going to be good. Nicky Henderson, whenever he's got a mare, you know, it's probably going to be good. Alan King, yeah, whenever he's got a mare, probably going to be good. So, yeah, it's Wynn House for me.
He also trains DJ Selection as well as Hotter Than Hell. So he's got a very strong hand. So Her Indoors for DJ, Wynn House for Graham Rodway. That was the Cheltenham TV action. And we're going to look at Doncaster next.
The Racing Post Christmas Countdown offers you the chance to win the ultimate Cheltenham Festival experience for you and three friends. Travel in style to Gold Cup Day with helicopter transfers from your five-star hotel and experience fine dining in the Chez Roux restaurant with some of the finest views over the course. To enter, simply place a bet on the Racing Post app today. And on top of that, there are huge weekly prizes available as well. Find out more at racingpost.com/Christmas Countdown.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway and David Jennings. Three races and on ITV4 at Doncaster support the four at Cheltenham. And the first of them is the 205. It's the Bet 365 handicap hurdle over just over 2 miles. A competitive affair with 9 runners, 4-1, Sonigino, 4-1, Tommy's Oscar, 5, Take It Easy, 6, Geronimo, 8, Lucky One, 10, Natural History, 12-1, Pyramid Place, 14, Rockaden, and 14-1, Snookered. Will that make the frame? Just the 9 runners, 4-1 is the favourite, 14 is the outsider, so it's pretty competitive. Graham Rodway, have you been able to unravel it?
Yeah, it's quite a tough race, isn't it? I will probably go for Tommy's Oscar, because the horse that Tommy's Oscar beat last time out by 10 lengths, Phoebo, is quite a reliable horse, and he ran very well at Sandown last week in a red hot handicap there behind Samer Reeve. And I think that Tommy's Oscar's only gone up, he's gone up £9, so he's going to have to improve significantly, but he's quite likely raced and still improving. So I do respect the favourite, because Sonigino ran in a hot race last time, won by Barrichello, who's always been highly regarded by Donald McCain, but I'm always a little bit, I mean, he's only had sort of one run in Britain, three overall. He's quite inexperienced for a race of this nature. So, Yeah, Tommy's Oscar's the one for me, Bruce.
Okay. Lads, I'm just watching this race at Cheltenham, and they're all wearing yellow, bright yellow breeches. Are you watching it?
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's quite interesting. I suppose it's a charity thing, isn't it?
Charity, isn't it? Yeah.
Brilliant. You're watching, DJ?
Yeah, I'm just seeing it there. Yes, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Tiggy's Trust.
Pardon?
Tiggy's Trust.
Oh, right, charity. Excellent. Yeah. Jolly good. Okay, sorry, I got distracted by the yellow breeches in the same way that you...
No, I'm not.
I've done a distances bet, so I want them to finish nice and close, which it looks like they're wrong. I got distracted by this in the same way that... Oh, go on.
I'll tell you what, when they do the Shergar Cup, shouldn't they all wear different coloured breeches instead of different coloured caps? And then it would be a lot easier to distinguish between them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose they could do. Yeah, it's not a bad shout. Yeah, I guess that's absolutely right. Anyway, back, come on, focus again, lads. Let's get back in the zone and let's get DJ's tip for the 2:05 at Doncaster on Saturday.
It is what I describe Aoife every day of the week. Lucky one. I think Lucky One has been given a real chance by the handicapper here. First start for Dan Skelton. Finished off last season falling in the grade one won by Maidrogo at Aintree. And was still banged there four out when he fell. He was 50-1 that day, but he was rating 143, still travelling fine. And all of a sudden he starts this season and he's been dropped £6 and he's down to a mark of 137. And that to me seems a bit bizarre because he absolutely bolted up at Wincanton in February under Harry Cobden. We went miles out in front, never came back off a mark of 132. So he's only £5 higher than that now, which is hard to believe, given he's had two starts since, both against Maidrogo, one at Kelso in the Grade 2 and the other in that Aintree hurdle when he fell. I just think he's gone down to a really, really nice mark at 8-1. Like, there's a few of these prices that I've mentioned on the podcast. I'm not saying they're all not going to win, obviously not, because I'm not a millionaire. But at the moment, a lot of them are way too big. And this is another one, like 8-1 about Lucky One. I think that's much too big.
I think you'd have to be a multi-millionaire for Aoife to genuinely feel lucky, I would imagine. Only joking, DJ. I bet you're an excellent husband. If you're as loyal to the racehorses that you tip week in, week out as you are to Aoife, then I'm sure.
I have no other choice but to be loyal, Bruce, because I wouldn't get anything else.
What? Right then. 2:40 Donny, the Bet365 Summit Juvenile Hurdle, a grade two over just over 2 miles. And Porticello for the Moors is making a good impression for himself. It's 2-1 favourite. And then we've got Magistrato, 4-1 for Bryony Frost. 5-1 Knight Salute, 7-2 Friendly, 8 Impulsive One, 14 Sacre Pierre, 28 Bar. So that gives us 8 runners with some each way potential. Just give you a clue as to what kind of horse has won this in the past. Mon Morale won it last year. Probably one of the better of the recent winners. So it's a race that does have some relevance towards the rest of the juvenile campaign. And we'll start with DJ for the first tip.
Yeah, I remember. Do you remember Peace and Cole winning it? No, for Nick, yes. And Darren Jacob.
Yeah.
That was one of the better winners. This is as I know it's a grade two, but as juvenile hurdles go, this is a really competitive race. And
it's probably the best one of the season, isn't it? So
yeah, yeah, no, it's really strong. And maybe the one of Farias, the Philidor one, was good from an Irish perspective. But like this is a really good race. And I thought a lot of these would actually go to Cheltenham, but most of them have come here. There's 33,000 to the winner, I suppose. That's probably twisting their arm as well. I still think Knight Salute is underrated. You know, Milton Harris trains him and, you know, he was okay on the flat, but wasn't anything out of the ordinary. I think he was rated around 80 or so. And he's won at Sedgefield, Kempton, and then he came out and won at Cheltenham. But I thought he won with plenty in hand at Cheltenham. And I always, like, even that day at Cheltenham, I thought he was too big of a price. He's still only rated 128. So he's officially £2 inferior to Porticello. But just the way he travels, the way he jumps, the fact that he knows how to win. He could be beaten, and like, I'm not saying he's a certainty by any stretch of the imagination, but I just think 5-1 really does it underestimate Knight Salute.
Did you read the Milton Harris interview by Peter Thomas?
I did, yeah, it was
what
really
a belter, blimey, some life that, isn't it?
Goodness, absolutely, me. Some autobiography that would be.
Definitely. G Rod, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, I'm with DJ here. I think that he's right.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, I know. That's nice. I know.
I'm glad to hear a bit.
I can feel the disappointment.
Grabbing everything he says.
Oh, God, this is a calamity, Oscar.
Well, you know, he's got the best form in the race, hasn't he? He's beaten Impulsive One, and he was impressive when he did it. He won that Grade 2 race at Cheltenham last time out, and he was impressive when he did it. He jumps well. He really finishes his races off strongly, which I like. And I expected to see him around about the price that Porticello is, but yet Porticello is like 2-1 favourite. Now, I'm not saying that Porticello shouldn't be favourite, because when he won that listed race at Weatherby, he was wildly impressive and he finished very, very quickly. But the reason he finished very quickly is because they run the early part of the race quite slowly. So I'm not really sure we learned that much about him. We know Knight Salute can go a good speed because he's done it twice already at Cheltenham and Kempton, and he finishes well off a good pace. So the long straight will suit him, I think, as long as the ground doesn't go bad. There's a lot of people saying that the rain, there's a lot of rain forecast at Doncaster. It might end up being really soft, but as long as it isn't, Knight Salute should win.
When you see something you fancy at 5-1 with the 8 runners in it, do you automatically think each way bet to nothing, G-Rod?
I do, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't always pay off.
No, it absolutely doesn't. I think the from what I'm looking at, by the way, with the rain, it's likely to be raining during racing, but not significantly beforehand. So it might not, the terrain might not soften too much. Okay, 3:15 at Donny is the Bet365 handicap chase. Over 3 miles, just the 7 runners here, disappointingly. 2 for Gold is the favourite at 7-4. Then we've got the Wolf at 7-2. What a good name for a horse. Fidux is 7, so is Kauto Rico. Jet is 15-2, Mr. Muldoon is 11s, and Mance Raider 12-1. Graham, have you had a good old scout through the form book to try and unearth something here?
Yeah, I think it is quite a weak race, actually, and it will be a bit disappointing if the top weight doesn't win it. I mean, he's running off a mark of 150. He's been rated higher in the past. I mean, he's been mixing it with decent horses, ASO, Cloth Cap last year at Kelso, obviously unseated last time in the entry race, but he goes well fresh. He's uncomplicated. He's just going to bounce out. He usually travels and jumps well up with the pace, and I think he's got a big class edge on the rest. The only one that could beat him is Corto Rico if it stays the trip and improves for the trip. I know it's won over almost 3 miles at Kelso, and he's quite unexposed at distance and has got a good record when fresh. But Corto Rico will absolutely desperately want the ground to soften. So if that rain does arrive and they cut it up, because this is the last race of the day, Corto Rico could be very interesting. I remember backing him at a huge price last year's Paddy Power Gold Cup. He stormed home for fourth. So he's a very interesting runner if the ground gets really testing. But if it doesn't, 2 for Gold will make all, I would have thought.
You finally named your selection at the very end of that.
Well, I'm trying to rival DJ in the length of selections that I give, you know, like the length and analysis, but it's very difficult.
Oh, no, don't do that. No, don't change your style, G-Rod. You just do what you do, mate. But do say the name. You refer to him as the top weight, and not everybody has
weights in front. 2 for Gold, yeah.
Thanks, G-Rod. David Jennings, come on.
I think he's almost right there, Graham, I think Cardo Rico, his second choice, is my first choice. I just think he's a really well-handicapped horse now. And I know Graham is saying we do need rain for Cardo Rico, but he was second in the Peterborough Chase 2 years ago on good soft ground, and it was proper decent ground that day. He's only beat 3/4 of a length when he was 100-1. He split top-notch in Lavago. So I think, while he's at 14 runs over fences, I still think over this trip, now that he's a bit older, he's a bit unexposed over this trip. He jumped, actually didn't jump that well at all when he won that listed race at Kelso last year. I think he was actually beaten, but he was awarded the race. He finished second. But I think over this trip, I do think there could be a little bit more improvement to come. And I just think he's a mid-140s horse. He's running off 138. So Cardo Rico would be my tentative selection.
Lovely stuff. That's the TV action done and dusted. Let's look at what else the boys fancy on Saturday in a matter of seconds.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice, and listen today.
Welcome back. Okay, we've done Cheltenham's TV races and Doncaster's TV races. Let's see what else we've got. The undercards at both. All-weather fans have got an afternoon meeting at Newcastle and a twilight meeting at Wolverhampton. And they're also over the sticks at Hereford and in Fairy House. So let's see what else the boys fancy. We'll start with you, David Jennings.
You don't want my nap yet? No.
No, hold the nap. Do you have anything else that you like that isn't the nap? You've only done 250 of these shows. You know the drill.
Yeah, I know my nap. I can't wait to talk about my nap. It's on a non-terrestrial televised race, so I can't wait to talk about him. But anyway, Fairy House does some cracking beginner's chases. The first race, the 11:30, sees Blue Lord, who would have been clear second in the Supreme last year, but fell at the last. He runs in the opening race, which is 11:30, so you'll have to get out of bed early, Rodders. He runs against Cade Boy, who is a decent hurdler as well, ran the county hurdle last season. And there's a few others in there, like El Barra and Atlantic Fairy. Blue Lord will probably win, but at a bigger price, I wouldn't put anybody off having a few quid each way on Atlantic Fairy, who I think could make a smashing chaser. She's rated a couple bit lower than Blue Lord over hurdles. I think she's rated 129, but at a big price, if you could get 10-1 about Atlantic Fairy, I think that's a decent price each way. Second race in the card is at 12:00, and this is a belter. Statler, who's a leading fancy for the National Hunt Chase, makes his chasing debut for Willie and Paul Tennant, who's returning after an absence. But the one that I cannot wait to see is Gares de Sceaux for Gordon Elliott and Mark Wadge, owned by JP McManus. This, I think, could be a really, really, really good horse. I'm going to put in three reallys here. I think he could make a smashing chaser. He was impressive when he won his point at Barris when he beat Magic Tricks. He's had three starts over hurdles, was beaten by Hookup in the first of those. He's won the two since and was very, very impressive in a novice hurdle at Navan last March. I think this is a smashing horse, and I wouldn't put anybody off having a few quid on him for the National Hunt Chase. That's Gares de Sceaux in the 12:00 at Fairy House. And just one other one later on in the card at Fairy House, Bruce. In the 1:37, it is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. I think Explosive Boy is different class to these. He's top weight, but he's only rated 109. He's unexposed, first handicap, Brian Cooper, Tony Martin, famous Seamus Ross colours. I think Explosive Boy will win the 1:37.
Yeah, I'm interested in Mastermind there. I just don't know how much you'll find when they pop in the question. Right then, I think that was this week's weak, pathetic joke. Just talking about Irish Point to Point, so as you did, DJ, how often do you get along to an Irish Point? That's something I've never done. I'd love to go one week.
Yeah, I don't get to as many as I'd like.
We should do a couple a year.
Yeah, usually a couple, yeah. The atmosphere at them is like, it's just real kind of homely. It's real like, when you go visit your granny or something and the whole family is there and there's a lovely type of feel to the whole thing. There's a warmth to it. I always find it a point to point. It's a bit like that. It's like everybody's just really happy to be there. They've all got smiles on their faces and you kind of meet people that you haven't seen in a while as well. So definitely wouldn't put anybody off going to a point to point.
Excellent. You like a point to point, G-Rod, don't you?
Absolutely love pointing, Bruce. Yeah, and I will be going very, very soon because, of course, the season really kicks off after Christmas in Britain. So I can't wait to get back.
What's your favourite?
That is
Mark's
question. Tay. Oh, it's a funny old play. I quite like Horse Heath.
Right.
You know where that is?
No, I don't, mate. No.
Yeah, it's up near Newmarket. But everyone tells me the West Country is where the best pointing is. But I do live a long way from there.
Yeah. Okay.
I will go.
All right then.
Anyway.
Yeah. We should do that. Right. What have you got for us? Don't give your nap away.
I mean, I've got my nap. I'll keep that on my sleeve. It's
good start to you, Rod. Nice and fluent.
The ITV audition's going well. Yeah.
12:05 at Cheltenham. Well, York Sea was third behind Night Salute last time out at Cheltenham, who I think will win the summit at Doncaster. And he ran the final half mile of that race in a similar time to the winner. So he was probably not far behind him, really. He was three lengths behind him at the finish, but I mean, in terms of ability, he could have been a lot closer if he'd been closer to him earlier in the race. Does that make sense? Gary Moore's obviously got Porticello, who's running against Night Salute in the summit, but he saddles York Sea here. Now, when I was at Cheltenham, when you're allowed to, you're still allowed to go, aren't you? Yeah, you wasn't allowed to go last year, but when I went 2 years ago, Gary Moore, I think it was 2 years ago, Gary Moore won this race with a horse called Botox Has. And that Botox Has had finished second behind All Mankind in the same race that Knight Salute beat York City last time in the November meeting. So it's a very, very similar profile to Botox Has, who won it 2 years ago. So that's my bet of the day at Cheltenham that isn't my nap.
Okay. Thanks, mate. Right, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Sorry,
DJ, you've been... DJ, you've been dying to tell us your nap, and now you've got the giggles, so will you still be able to? Who is it?
I am the ultimate professional, Bruce. I can put the giggles to one side. 115 at Cheltenham, Notre Paris. This horse is rated 129, and he's just been absolutely crying out. Now, I know horses don't cry out, but he's been screaming, or whatever horses do, for a fast run 2 miles, and this is exactly what he's going to get here. I thought at Carlisle, he shaped with huge promise. He trained at 1.2 in running, which is 1-5. Looked all over a winner coming down to the last. And it was just 2.5 miles at Carlisle. First run for 221 days. And he just got tired. He still posted an RPR of 135. And even the time before that you talked to her when he was beaten over 2.5 miles in his final start last season, he posted an RPR of 134. He's running off 129 now over fences. And he's 6 pounds lower than he is over hurdles, despite the fact that he's a really good jumper. And he's still unexposed. He's only had 11 starts and only 5 of them have been on over fences. I think this could be the first of a sequence for Notre Paris. I think he's a much better horse than we've seen so far. If you remember, this is the same Notre Paris that fell at the last in the Lanzarote at Kempton, which was won by Burrow's Edge a few years ago. Probably would have finished second that day. He was sent off favourite, but he won next time at Fontwell. He hasn't been seen that much since. He's only had about 4 or 5 starts since then. And I think he is a winning sequence waiting to happen. I think this could be the first of them. He's run off 129. He is 7-1 with Bet365. I think there'll be a 2 next to that 7 tomorrow. And I'd urge listeners, if you want to have a little dabble in the 115 at Cheltenham, take the 7-1 about Notre Paris.
Excellent. I like that. And I also like the way you put the giggles behind you. I was always rubbish at getting rid of the giggles at school. Like, you know, if someone did something juvenile or whatever, or genuinely funny, and I was giggling away. You know, when the teacher kind of goes after the person who's laughing last, that was always me. I just couldn't stop. But
look at you now.
Yeah. I mean, no, very strong case for Notre Paris. See if you can be as compelling as that, G-Rod. What's your nap?
Yeah, you see, the problem is that DJ has actually ended up napping in the same race as me. So
that's fine. Once it's not the same horse, that's fine.
Oh, very rude. Sorry, come on, G-Rod.
It's edited to...
You're in the High Court, you're a barrister, and you're standing up to make your case. What are you going to say?
It's Editor du Gite for, again, the bold Gary, Gary Moore, who obviously is going to have York City win the first. I mean, this also, I think, has got the potential to develop into a champion chase outsider. I think he's that good. I mean, he could easily be coming here having won his last 4 in a row. I mean, he fell or unseated right behind the Moolah Gold. Maybe he would not have won that race. Maybe he would have done if he had stood up. But certainly, though, the leader, Moolah Gold, caught was absolutely walking up the running. So it wouldn't have surprised me if Editor Geet had got back up to beat him. And then last time out, he ran at Cheltenham and he won. Well, I'm not going to say easily, but he showed again a really good attitude. He kept on really strongly to beat Stolen Silver, who's very highly regarded by Sam Thomas, and actually went on to run against Edward Stone in that graded one novice chase last week at Sandown. The pair came 10 lengths clear of Bundora, and who I know is a favourite of yours, isn't he, Bruce, in third?
Very much so.
You know, Bafeva was fourth. That came out and won next time out at Ludlow. A Magic Saint, who I really fancied for that race, probably did well to finish fifth in the end. I just think that was a really, really strong race. He's gone up £7. The time was very good. He went off at a good pace, jump well. I can't see him. I can't see Notre Paris beating him, DJ. I really can't. I mean, I wish you the best of luck, but I don't think you're going to get anywhere near Editor Du Gite. But if you want to, if you know, I know everyone likes to do a multiple. So if you want to do a multiple, my other best bet of the day would be Night Salute in the Summit, which is the 2:40 at Doncaster.
The funny thing about that is, like, when the 5 days were out earlier on this week, I was just delighted to see Editor De Geet in there, because I think he'll make it obviously a test. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go off out in front. He's going to try and make all, and I just think that's exactly what Notre Parry needs. So I'm expecting to track you down to the last, Graham, and then just sprint on by.
Okay, so the Naps both in the same race, 1:15 at Cheltenham, Notre Parry for DJ, Editor De Geet for Graham Rodway. Perhaps we better do a forecast. Now then, boys, before you go, we're what, 3 months away from the festival, aren't we? Incredible scene. So I want your latest idea of a great value anti-post bet that the listeners can have a couple of quid on and put away and then unwrap in the middle of March, take it down to the bookies and go and collect a nice pile of cash. What have you got for us, DJ?
Well, I do a show on a Tuesday called Up in the Ante, and my selections so far have not been going particularly well. It was a bit of a catastrophe for me last weekend. Three of them ran and three of them were all well beaten. I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you actually one that runs Fairy House tomorrow. I think Gares de Sceaux for the National Hunt Chase. He's 33-1 across the board. I think he could win the Beginner's Chase at Fairy House tomorrow, and I think he could be a single figure price for the National Hunt Chase. That's Gareth So. And in a single figure price, but one that I think come next Saturday evening, I think he'll be 5-2, 3-1 favourite. I think Time Hill will win the Long Walk Hurdle. I think he's just better class than them staying hurdlers at the minute. It's a rotten division, and I think he's the best of them. So 8-1, Time Hill to win the Sayers Hurdle.
Nice one. Thank you very much, DJ. What have you got for us, Graham?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the best bet of the season anti-post at the moment is in the festival, and obviously is Chase. And I mean, I'll be very, very surprised if Ahoy Senor doesn't win that race, if he gets there on top form.
You've just said Brave Man's Game is the best novice in Ireland or England a few minutes ago.
Yeah, Brave Man's Game is very good horse, but he wants probably a flat track and probably a sharp 3 miles. And this is an uphill, down dell. Staying.
Oh, I agree with you. I was just around what you said earlier. Sorry, yeah, I agree with you.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, if Brave Man's Game turns up against the Hoist and you're at Kempton, or they face each other at Kempton in a couple of weeks in that race in Cottle December, Star, yeah. I'd be all over Brave Man's Game to beat him. But in the Festival Novices Chase, a Hoist and you're is going to absolutely relish that sort of test round there. All he does is stay. You've seen how many winners have we seen of that Festival Novices Chase? The RSA, the old RSA, just be dour, grinding, sort of staying types. And a Hoist and you're really, really comes into that category. I mean, that performance at Newbury was absolutely sensational. He is a good horse, a Hoist and you're. I can't believe he's not favourite.
What sort of price is he?
He's a very good horse, I agree. He's 13-2.
13-2.
13-2. Lovely stuff. Okay, chaps. Well,
one fell. Whoa,
I let you go. What are the weekend plans?
Whoa. No, we need one from the gaffer. What's yours?
No.
Just one for Chapman.
It wouldn't be genuine. I honestly, I don't have a strong fancy, chaps. I promise you. I had a silly treble earlier with Honeysuckle, Shishkin, and something else. I can't even remember what it was. And that look. No, I'm not the expert. You're the expert. So I wouldn't want to put anyone away. What are the weekend plans, David Jennings? You got all work or a bit of mix and work and play?
My sister is 40 and Aoife is going for a night away with my sister and a few of their friends. So I have Georgia for the night, and Aoife usually puts her down to bed, and I obviously have to do that tonight, and it could be utter carnage. So you could be getting a phone call in the middle of the night, Bruce, singing me a lullaby or something.
There's a proven tactic. All you've got to do is put your phone... click the tweet that says listen to this week's podcast, press play, stick it in the cot, and she'll nod off in no time, mate. Don't worry about that.
I probably agree.
And then working tomorrow?
Yeah, fair.
On Sunday, tomorrow, rather?
Yeah. Fair, yes, tomorrow. And then tomorrow. I'm actually on 2 weeks' holidays before Christmas. So my last day before St. Stephen's Day, or Boxing Day, as you call it, is Saturday. So 2 weeks.
Oh, lovely. Excellent. Well, you don't normally have a holiday, do you? So that would be weird not having you about. Okay, well, have a lovely holiday, David Jennings. Thank you very much for all your input on the shows this year. good luck. I hope you manage to win a few quid, but most importantly, I hope you have a lovely Christmas. G-Rod, what are you up to this weekend?
Yeah, looking forward to this weekend, Bruce. I'll be at home watching the Cheltenham tomorrow, and then I've got 2 days off Sunday and Monday as my alternative weekend. And Monday, of course, is the famous Racing Post trip to Plumpton, isn't it?
Now,
this happens every year. They go always the Monday before Christmas to Plumpton, and Keely drinks them out of Guinness after 2 races. So it'll be interesting to see if they've stocked up this year. I hope so, but I very much doubt it.
Oh, so you're looking forward to a nice trip. Are you getting the train down?
Yeah, it's lovely down there, isn't it, at Plumpton, especially on a Monday afternoon when there's no one there. But it'll be absolutely banged out there because half the Racing Post will be there probably.
Well, I might just check my diary and see you down there, Jude. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much indeed for your input. Thank you very much for listening. Maddie's back on Monday. And we're back next Friday looking into another cracking weekend. Bet safely, hopefully bet successfully. And join us next week for some more great racing podcasts.